Shay Brock is with us today, and we're talking about autism because this is Autism Awareness Month. Shay, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You've got two children, both who are diagnosed as being autistic.
I do.
That's got to be interesting.
It's very interesting. It makes for nice dinner table conversations. So when we're able to sit around the dinner table, that is. So.
Now, we were talking a little bit off the air about some of the things you've gone through over the years with autistic children. Tell us some of the stories and what it's like living with that. And I'm sure other parents out there who do have autistic children can relate.
My autism journey started about 7 months ago, technically, when my oldest was diagnosed as high-functioning autism. I knew when he was about two that something was a little different. He would line up all his cars. He wouldn't play with normal children. He kind of kept to himself, wasn't very social. He tested, he met all his milestones appropriately, so the physicians didn't think that there was a problem. So we've kind of dealt with that over the years. He doesn't take transitions very well from one thing to another. Big crowds aren't very well. Just little things we've kind of had to deal with on our own. Holidays are difficult. There are lots of, and that's something I didn't know until we were in the middle of Thanksgiving. There are different sights and smells and different foods and different family members you don't see all the time. Stuff like that's very stressful. The different therapies involved. It's very isolating to have a special needs child.
Well, you were telling us earlier about you were recently inside of a local store and your son had a meltdown.
Yes.
What happened with that and kind of explain how that made you feel, because I'm sure you felt isolated there for sure. And I'm sure other people walking by thought, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah. My youngest is almost three and his hearing is very, very sharp. He can hear the fluorescent light bulbs. So we were in Hastings trying to get Pokemon cards for my oldest. And he kept saying that he heard the fans were on. And he was talking about the lights and he wanted the lights out and couldn't understand why Hastings couldn't turn all their lights out. So he threw himself on the ground and was covering his ears and screaming and kicking. And when he gets in one of those, you can't rationalize with him when that happens. You just have to hold him until it's over with. And people standing around look at you like, why can't you control your child? Like he's a spoiled brat having a temper tantrum. And my oldest looked at one of the cashiers and says, my brother is autistic. This is what autism looks like in our family. You know, and the cashier was awesome, but you do get a lot of that. You're a bad parent and you just don't know how to behave and your child's awful. And, you know, when you get to the root of it, the noises were too loud for him and he couldn't cope with it. So his body shut down.
I love that response, though, from the brother.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So he said, this is what autism looks like in our family.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He was very happy when his little brother was diagnosed. My husband and I were not, you know, as happy as he was. But Cohen knows his diagnosis. You know, he knows that that he sees the world differently than a lot of people do. And that he has to work a little bit harder at things than a lot of people do. And he likes things. He likes the same routine, the same time every day. He likes certain foods. He likes things the way that he likes them. And that's a big sign of the high functioning autism. They like routine. They're very routine oriented.
What would you say to a parent out there who thinks that their child may have something going on, but they're not exactly sure what it is, but their friends have said, have you had tests done to see if it is autism? What would you say to that parent?
I would urge them to, they can contact their pediatrician. They could find a local child psychologist. The Vanderbilt Kennedy Center is outstanding. The school system can help. The earlier intervention you get is the best. With my youngest, Rory, he's almost three. So he's going through the Tennessee Early Intervention Services. And they do all the testing and help you find the right therapies for your child up until the age of three. So we're going through that right now, because the earlier you can catch them, the easier it is to help them learn to cope with certain behavioral or social aspects that we take for granted. Just, you know, Cohen goes to a social therapy group once a week, and it's with other kids his age. He's learning how to be social with them. And before, you couldn't say, "It's raining cats and dogs outside." He would look at you and say, "No, it's not," because he didn't understand that was a phrase. And now he can look at you and say, "I know what you mean when you say it's raining cats and dogs. It's not literally raining cats and dogs. It's just raining really hard outside."
In the late 80s, the movie The Rain Man came out. I think that opened people's eyes a lot to autism.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think it also made many think that if you're autistic, you're going to sit around and count toothpicks all day.
Yeah, and I've had people say, "Are you sure he's autistic? I don't know. He doesn't look autistic to me." And it's like, well, you don't look autistic. You don't have to. It's not something you wear on the outside. You know, it has to do with brain functioning and social and behavioral issues and learning issues and a lot of different things. You don't wear it on the outside a lot. So
last year, they took away the diagnosis of Asperger's syndrome. Mm-hmm. And so those who, I guess, were previously diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, instead, they just have a different form of autism that is higher on the scale or lower on the scale, depending on where it falls. Do you think that was a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it was a good thing, because they are trying to, Tennessee is one of those states that doesn't make insurance companies pay for a lot of autism treatment. So I think that getting rid of the word Asperger's and labeling it all autism puts everybody in that same category and makes it a little bit more equal. But it is confusing to people who say, "Oh, no, I don't have autism, I have Asperger's." And it's like, well, Asperger's is a form of autism. It's just not recognized anymore as a word. I guess they would say that, I think the definition of Asperger's was you had all the signs and symptoms of autism, but were verbal. Like, my children talk all day long. They never stop talking. So a lot of people think, well, they talk, so they're not autistic. It's like, no, they have a higher functioning form of autism where they are verbal, but they still have all the behavioral and social issues that go along with autism. They just won't quit talking. So
Shay Brock again is with us today, and we're talking about autism. This is Autism Awareness Month. And you were talking about some of the things that they do that other kids may not do, and such as social issues, social anxiety, things like that. Talk about that a little bit.
It's with my youngest, he's still, you know, becoming who he's supposed to be. But he is one of those that if a child comes up to him and approaches him and introduces himself, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He'll cover his ears and scream and turn away. But if he goes up to that child and introduces himself, then it's okay. He wants it on his terms. He's good with other children when it's on his own terms. You know, like when we go to the Discovery Center or something like that, there are 150 kids. He doesn't notice anybody in there but himself. He walks around kids to play at the train table. And the only time he notices somebody is if they're doing something that he doesn't want to do. And he stands there and just covers his ears and screams because he doesn't know to wait his turn. And the oldest, he's very anxious. Right now he's obsessed with the teacups. That's all he can think about. That's all he can talk about, is the teacups coming up.
I saw a post on Facebook that you put on there that he literally comes home crying because he's so worried about the teacup test.
Yes, because they get hyper-focused on one thing, and that's all they can think about. For a while, it was the video game Minecraft. He was obsessed. Everything out of his mouth had to do with Minecraft. So right now, it's the fear of the unknown. He's never done it before, so he's really super nervous about it. So we're having to practice with him and talk with him and encourage him and let him know that we're all on his team and we're all rooting for him, you know. But he does. He gets very hyper anxious over things, especially things that he doesn't know. And he cries very easily, very emotional. Things like when the cable goes out. you and I'll be like, oh man, I'll just read a book or wash some dishes or do something until the cable comes back on. He'll have a complete meltdown because he wants to do it when he wants to do it and doesn't understand why he doesn't want to do it. And then like math, he's having difficulty. He's excellent in math. He does it all in his head until you get to like 2 and 3 number problems. And he wants to do it all in his head, but they want him to do it on paper. And he says, but it's stupid. I know what it is. Why do I have to write the answer down? Because your teacher doesn't know what it is. But that's stupid. I know what it is. Why can't I just write the answer down? So just, you know.
Now, some of the things you describe are things that all kids go through. For example, mm-hmm. my son, all he talks about is Minecraft right now.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. But what you're describing is it's a hyper-intense version of yes. what normal kids go through. In other words, if it's Minecraft that's on their mind, it's 24/7.
Yes. Sleeping, breathing, eating, all of his clothes are Minecraft related. All of his t-shirts are Minecraft related. And, you know, sometimes we pay him in video games. You know, it's like, well, if you do an extra 30 minutes of math homework, you can have an extra 30 minutes of video game time. You know, kind of rewarding him with something that he really loves, because that's what he really loves. And he's one of those kids where he doesn't sit on the couch and play video games. It's a full body contact sport for him. He stands and he runs and jumps and dodges and does everything that his person on screen is doing. So, you know, it's kind of a cardio video game experience for him.
Now, as we close out this morning, there is something going on in Nashville all revolving around autism. Tell us mm-hmm. about that.
Next Friday night at the Scrimmerhorn is the Autism Speaks Light It Up Blue benefit. And the proceeds from that go to Autism Speaks. It starts at 7. The happy hour's at 6 if you want to come for the happy hour, but it officially starts at 7. We have a lot of really nice silent auction items. Gibson guitar they donated a really nice Les Paul electric white guitar that's gorgeous. That's up for auction. Stones River Pilots are playing. We're going to have some good food and just, you know, you can. The Facebook page is up, or you can get on the Autism Speaks, and they have the Light It Up Blue section. So,
and this is Friday, April 25th. Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn more details about that, I guess just Google Autism Murfreesboro or Autism Nashville. Should have more information on there.
And there is a Facebook page. And if you go to the Autism Speaks Light It Up Blue, you can click in the Nashville Gala and it'll pull it up. So.
Perfect. Light It Up Blue is what the mm-hmm. event's called. Okay, so Google Autism Light It Up Blue. It's going to pop up all the information and you should be good to go.
Yep.
Shay Brock again with us today talking about autism as we close out this morning. One more thing I did want to mention. You were talking about divorce rate among parents who find out their children have autism. It's extremely high.
It is.
What do you do to stay together?
Laugh a lot, make a lot of inside jokes. We try to make the big important decisions together. We're a team. We try to be a team. They're our kids. You know, you literally take it one day at a time. Sometimes one moment at a time. But
again, Shay Brock has been our guest. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.